That clock's off.
It's off?
Yep.
Okay. You on? I'd like to open the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees meeting on February 27th, 2024 to order. I request a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Alex Lorden.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the February 13th, 2024 regular meeting.
I can move to approve the minutes.
I'll second that.
Roll call Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Lorden.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved.
Okay, we'll move on to the fiscal officer's report then. Joel?
You should make the motion. Who's seconding?
Oh, okay, I'll do it.
I knew we were going to stop doing that.
Okay, I'll do it next time.
Do we all have the reports in your piles and piles of paper in front of you? Fund status, $644,557.41 in Star, Ohio. $650,153.35 in Krogan checking. Warrants to approve 22504 through 22532, and that's totaling $25,301.87. And then deposits made since the last meeting is $27,802.02.
We have a motion to approve the fiscal officer report.
Make a motion to approve the fiscal officer report.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Alex Lorden.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes. Alex Lorden made the motion. Bo Miller seconded it.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Okay, we've got the fiscal done. Let's move on to the zoning department.
Okay, we've had two permits in the last month. One for 562 Donovan for an accessory building, and then another one at 1301 South Yondota for an addition. So this is building season. Lots and lots of phone calls, people stopping in, checking on, seeing what they need to do. So there are a lot of other things in the works. Property, the acquisition of 13534 Greenwood. That's the one next to Nate Duris. He's the one that accepted that. So he, the deed was transferred. So he came in with the deed, and we combined that lot with the other two existing lots he has, his house and his driveway. So those three lots will now be combined. So we made that application and sent it in. He did mention that the outbuilding is just about cleaned out. He said it was just packed,
yeah,
full of stuff. So it was a lot more than he expected. And he said that the house is secure. Complaints. I had a couple complaints about 323 North. There are two campers being lived in. The health department has went and checked them. They are hooked up properly, and they actually took him through the house, because that's the whole issue, is that they're redoing that house, and that was a blighted house that was stripped. So there's a lot of work to do it when they took it over. They've cleaned that property up really well.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been in there quite a while. Well, they say 2 more months. And the health department said they were okay with that. If they're in there in 2 months, that would be great. I mean, they lived in it all winter with little kids. But at least it was hooked up properly, and that was taken care of. Legal, so Stanton, 11349 Corduroy, there is a court date for March 27th. And the board applications for our boards are due March 1st. We've re-received two. I understand there's a couple more coming in tomorrow, but they're due by March 1st. That's all I have.
I do have a few questions.
Sure.
So, if I understand it correctly, there were two different court dates for the Stanton case in January and February. Can you give me an update on those two dates?
When we were there in February, and that's when they set the March 27th date.
Okay. What about the January date?
January date, we were off. There was a discrepancy on when it was.
Can you...
So it was just continued.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
No.
So did you attend that court date?
I did not attend that court date. Rob attended that court date.
Okay. Do you have any update on the zoning measures that were found to be invalid?
We're going through the process again.
So you're going through the process of redoing those all over
again?
Correct. Have you already been in contact with the Lucas County Plan Commission to let them know?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Actually, we need to do the board. The board needs to reactivate that again. If we start from day one of the whole process, the board needs to send those amendments to the Plan Commission.
The zoning board or the
Correct.
Trustees?
The zoning board.
Okay. So where are we at in that process?
There's a zoning meeting next week.
So that's a public hearing for those changes?
No, that's a regular meeting to say, let's send them to the Plan Commission. Once the Plan Commission views them, then you have your public hearing with the zoning board, and then it goes to the trustees for a public hearing with the trustees.
Okay. Do you know why that wasn't done that way in the past? That's the proper legal way to do it according to Ohio Revised Code.
Correct, it is.
Do you know why it wasn't done that way?
It was an oversight.
Okay, thank you. That's all I've got.
I was curious on Bob's Barbershop up on Route 2. I don't mind them selling cars, but those are junk.
Yeah. Had a couple complaints already.
Yeah.
I'm going to call and make sure they have their license, because you have to have a license to have a car on it. They did call a couple times asking if they could go in there, and there's no reason why they couldn't. They have to stay on the stone. Any car lot has to have their lot on a hard surface. So they can't put anything in the grass, but yeah, you are correct. They're junk. It's not a junkyard, it's a used car.
That's trouble. It's not a used car sales lot, it's a junkyard. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to check into that. It's on my list.
Oh, you got anything?
Nope, I don't got anything.
Okay. We'll move on to Recreation Department. Gary sent us this thing, and I'll just read it off quick, below the back page there.
Yeah, I can do the flood results for me.
Okay. Spring sports registration ended on Sunday for baseball, softball, t-ball, and flag football. I will get a finalized number of Jerusalem Township participants by the end of the week. Was out checking out the rec field last week. Seems to be doing well. The Oregon Rec is going to help maintain them this spring again. We are going to host practices for spring sports for more than just Jerusalem Township this spring. Wednesday, May 22nd, 5 to 7, Rec Community Day. There will be five very large inflatable activities for families to do, working on securing several dinner dessert-type food trucks as well as other forms of entertainment for families to enjoy. Community garden update. No update as yet. This is one of the topics for our March Rec Board meeting. Pickleball court at Joe Verb. Update, no update as yet. This is one of our topics for our March Rec Board meeting. March Rec Board meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 5th at 7 p.m.
All right, and Gary sent off the Red Cross from the blood drive, so the most recent ones, which was the only day that was?
I don't recall offhand.
All right, well, anyway. The goal is 20. They had 27 donors on schedule, 25 donors presenting. They had 4 first-time donors. Total donors deferred was 4. Unsuccessful donations was 0. Whole blood units collected was 19. Power red units, which I don't know what that is 2. So
A double.
Total units collected was 23, so 115% of the goal was collected. The next blood drive is Tuesday, March 19th from 12 to 5 p.m.
And so. I'm kind of proud of that we can do that good.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on then. Move on to fire department, Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So far this year, the fire department's responded to 56 calls to date. The new water tender, pretty much I think everybody up here knows that it's arrived. At this point, about 90% of the equipment's on it. We're in the process of doing some training with it, and he is hoping to put it totally into service this coming Saturday. So, you know, if something big came in before that, I'm sure that we'd most probably get it there, but the tentative date is Saturday of the going full active. So, our Marine 33, which is the boat, they had to change some numbering on that, but it's getting outfitted for canvas for use for out on the lake for inclement weather so they can protect the guys inside some canvas. And that's being done by Great Lakes Canvas. That'll be installing that. Oh, and the last thing that he had give you guys was that IMAT. He's asking that you please read and sign off on it. And basically what it is for command aids. Right now there are, that I know of, there are 4 other departments where their chiefs are participating in it, where they actually have their tones that go off whenever they have a working structure fire. That at that point, that chief, if he's available, responds to that incident in that community and just helps out with command of the fire or whatever the incident would be. So this is just an agreement basically stating that he's got the permission to do that, and the other agencies have permission to come into our jurisdiction and assist with the same thing with command aids.
The nice thing about the incident management assistance team is they're all under the unified command, so they all, it's all the same. So they all go through the same NIMS training. So basically, you can go anywhere in the country and they work under the same system. So it wouldn't be like Lake Township coming in here and using different verbiage and different ideas. It's, they're, everything's the same. They know, you know.
And him or his delegate could actually respond even to say Allen Clay where I'm at or Lake Township. If there isn't a command officer there when he gets there, he has the full rights of taking that scene and taking command of that incident until another officer gets there if he wants to relieve it at that point. Otherwise, he can run the whole incident of that jurisdiction. That's part of what this thing's saying, that you may have a different commander to run an incident with the assistance of any of these other individuals that are available to show up.
And it has the assignment priorities, command, accountability, safety officer, your RIT group supervisor, your division supervisor, and your staging officer, which them are all typical functions that we fulfill on the fire department at every incident.
Yeah. when there's enough personnel to fill them all, yes. Otherwise, you hit the important high-topic ones, like a safety officer, stuff like that, until you can fill any of the other ones.
So the chief is recommending approval of this?
Yes.
Do we have his support?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm good with it. I don't know if we necessarily need a motion, but we'll use this copy. I signed this one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Then we can give this back to, you guys can pass it down.
Yep.
Keep all that together, and I can go to back to Kevin tonight. Make him responsible for it.
Okay, and while you're signing that, I'll go on to number 5 on his list. As been discussed in other meetings, the fire department has entered into an agreement with St. Vincent's to purchase all of their drugs and everything for the ending of basically the Lucas County EMS system, where we're going to have to support our own ALS system with us in Oregon. He's asking for, this is for all the drugs to get started with, for everything they need, to not exceed $8,000 for the purchase of the first initial drugs, which will, as you go along, be reimbursed by the billing system.
And if I'm correct, Tony, or Kevin, the drugs that are close to expiring, St. V's has agreed to allow us to turn them back in. They will use them, because they're going to use them more frequently.
Yep.
We'll get more up to date, so we're not wasting money and discarding drugs.
There are certain drugs that they will not be able to return. I don't remember what they are, so I'm not going to speak out of church on which ones they are. But 90% of all drugs bought, as long as they're returned within, I think it was like a 3-month expiration date, there's no charge. They'll give us fresh, and they'll use those within the hospital.
Not bad. Kind of cool. Yep.
So he's just asking for the approval of $8,000.
I can move to approve up to $8,000 for the first batch of new drugs for the rescue squad.
I'll second that.
Got it.
Yep. Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Lund.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
And the reason he's not here tonight is because all these that I'm going to read to you are asking for money tonight.
Bo Miller made the motion. Alex Litton seconded.
Okay, the next one, the new water tender, which is a new tanker, needs an MDT computer. He does have an estimate from DR Ebels, so he's asking to a not exceed $8,000 on that. And I believe Joel looked into it, so he might have more information than I do. I'm just reading on a piece of paper.
It's using the CARES Act money, about $50,000 that he had earmarked for the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting us the order of it for the truck. Right? It's a lot.
So you guys are going to have to dumb it down for me. So what is a MDT computer?
It's a medical data terminal.
Got it.
Basically, dispatch, any of your dispatch information, any updates you can get on that, sensitive items that you do not want to broadcast across an open radio can be sent through that CAD. You can also use it for directions, mapping when you're going someplace. So there's multiple uses for it, and it electronically, it's got buttons on it that you push whatever stage you are in the call, and it'll record those times for you. So it's got multiple uses.
And every truck's got one.
Yes, that would be the last one.
Every truck over there's got
one. And then also, more importantly, it is a GPS, so that you know where the truck is, so dispatch can see where the unit is in the county CAD system. So it's not just...
Yeah, every truck in the county's got one.
Every police car, every fire apparatus has this system.
I guess I make a motion that we buy a MTD computer for the new tender truck for $8,000.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Alex Lund.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Dave Bench made a motion. Alex Lund seconded it.
Okay. Number seven, he had a meeting with Toledo Coast Guard Station. There's going to be staffing cutbacks. So basically, coming out of Toledo, there's going to be limited, if anything, come out of the one in the Maumee River. Our protection plan will basically be coming from down east, Detroit route, stuff like that. So what he's basically trying to tell you is we're most probably going to use our boat a lot more on the lake for these instances where the Coast Guard would have normally tried to catch some of these. So he was just informing me on that.
They figure it's an hour and 15 minutes response.
Now, where does the helicopter come out of?
Well, it comes out of Detroit. Detroit group, and
I think Cleveland's got one too.
Yes, Cleveland's the other one. And if you really got a big incident out of the Carolinas, you get the C-130 that they send.
That'd be a big problem.
We've had ice rescues. We've had that C-130 here multiple times.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah. So all they do is fly around and tell us how many people's out there that they can count. But
for a C-130 is a big plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, they're just cutting back their staffing at the Toledo station. So.
The biggest part is it's finding people.
Yeah.
They put out a big recruiting thing, and it's nationwide. It's not just, you know, I think it'd be fun to be down in Florida or something, but it's across the entire nation. They're having trouble getting people to join the Coast Guard. So.
It's no different than the fire service and everything else. There isn't the drive and the generation that's floating here in the middle that everybody wants to recruit. And, you know, just everybody's responsibilities has changed versus what they were 15, 20 years ago. So they just can't do it, so they're going to run out of the other ones.
And they're going to be there 40 hours a week, but they don't know. Oh, yeah. They don't have a set schedule.
Probably weather dependent, I would imagine.
Weather dependent. They did say that if, like, any big event, so like if Maumee Bay is having an event with like the fireworks and stuff, and there's going to be a lot, they will do that. If there's any big events going around, we can call them, or the fire department can call them and let them know that, hey, there's a big event going on, and they'll try and make a boat available, like an overtime kind of deal.
Gotcha. And I'll probably follow up with the chief about this, because boating is my area of expertise, so I'm very interested in making sure that we have proper coverage.
I got the liability. I gotta say, I don't know nothing about a boat anymore.
Nope. Smart man.
Yeah. Number eight on his list, our rescue engine, which is the newest fire apparatus we got, minus the water tender, needs multiple things fixed on it. It's got a hydraulic pump that runs our foam cell. That went out about a month ago. They just finally got one in, but he's looking to get that repaired, gauges on the pump panel, and a couple valves that failed during pump testing. So again, he's asking for $5,000, or not to exceed a $5,000 for a repair. That's Atlantic Fire doing everything. And that would be, if I remember right, there's like 7 or 8 of those gauges, which are quite expensive. And I imagine that foam unit itself is probably going to be a couple grand itself. So then the valves.
I can make the motion for Atlantic Fire to make the repairs to Rescue Engine 31 not to exceed $5,000.
I'll second that. And I should have signed a few less checks, so we had some money left over.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller made the motion. Alex Litton seconded.
Motion carried.
Okay, then I don't know how many of you went, but they did their harassment policy review, was completed this month, which they use the same lawyer to go through it that we did at Allen Clay. And, you know, it takes the humdrum type stuff out of the harassment policy and it really opens your eyes to things that she brings up that you wouldn't have realized before. But Eric did attend, so we should have everybody covered except, well, and did they videotape? Because he never did tell me if he videotaped. He was hoping to videotape it for anybody that couldn't make it.
I don't think so.
They were going to ask her. I don't know. He never did answer.
He didn't say to me either.
We almost have to have that, though, because our insurance carrier wants us to have that. Mm-hmm. So if we can get it online, you two better get it.
Sure.
Okay. Last thing, that's more money. They have two students at Owens for the EMT schooling, and he would like to ask to not exceed $3,500 for their school.
Alex, you want to make the motion?
Sure. We get that reimbursed, I think, don't we, on a grant?
A lot of that comes back to the Marshall's grant for the fire and EMT stuff.
Sure. I'll make a motion to approve not to exceed $3,500.
I'll second it.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Dave Bench made the motion. Alex Litton seconded it. I mean, Alex Litton. First, he made the motion. I second it.
Now, since you spent all the money in Chiefs, you can't spend any money on road and bridges.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, he spent a lot of money tonight.
Okay, we got the fire done. I guess we'll move on to maintenance department, Kevin.
Okay, basically today was just get ready for tonight just in case. Hopefully we don't get nothing that they're talking about, but we got the chipper out, started it up, got it ready to go, just addressed the chainsaws and everything that we could use, and topped everything off with fuel, fired up the generator manually to make sure that it was going to start, which starts every Thursday at 11 o'clock. So we're pretty much as ready as we can be. City of Oregon did put out a request today to me that if we have a significant event and they need a chipper, if they could borrow ours. I told them, obviously, if we don't need it, we'd be willing to let them borrow it. They have the updated model that's computerized, and that's been down there for 2 months now trying to get fixed. So that could be loaned out to the City of Oregon if we would have anything, or if they would have a big event and we end up with nothing. So we just basically, I'm planning on if we get anything other than just monstrous tree or something down, we're most probably just going to use plow trucks with the plows just to get them off the road to open the roads. Then daylight hours, when it's safer, try to clean stuff up. But we did clean up the pile from two snows ago where somebody dumped a half a tree right in the middle of the lakeway, and where you go up on top of the dike down off Park Colony. We got that picked up today. And basically that's all I got. The only thing I would ask is if you guys got some time, or one or two of you do, the roads that I planned on putting into the program this year, after driving all of them and looking at them again, I don't believe that they're anything that we need immediate attention on. So I would like to drive a bunch of the roads and get you guys' opinion on what you think we should do them, or because the ones I looked at, we could most probably hold another couple of years before we did anything to them. May look into crack sealing though, and we're going to need to address the parking lot out here this year again.
It's got to be sealed.
It's almost getting to the point where we're almost past the sealer, unless we have somebody come in and do some repairs, like down where the cut across goes for the septic, and where all the garbage trucks for years would back up to clear the wire on this side and they'd bounce it. Well, it's a bunch of cracked up stuff. We could either chip seal it or have just those areas cut out and repaired, then sealed. Then we could just spray seal everything again. or you chip seal it like we did the roads. Which at first that's gonna be a mess up against the buildings plowing, but it's no different than what our residents put up with when we do the roads, so. Cause the cost of black topping this, we don't wanna go there again. That was a pretty big price.
And was it about 100 last time?
We were over that, we were like 140.
With 140, was it?
Yeah. Cause we had to add drainage and stuff underneath it. So we got a little time, cause the parking lot we're most probably going to have to put out ourselves. And that can just go out, we can call basically 3-4 different vendors, get them in for pricing. We just gotta write up a job description of what we're gonna do or requesting and go from there.
If you need somebody to ride the roads with you and take a look at them, I'm more than happy to tag along and talk about it.
Yeah.
So, did have one question. So when we loan equipment to Oregon, we get to borrow equipment from Oregon, right?
Well, that's never worked out too well yet. That's still a work in progress, but I guess to be the first one in which we've dealt with Oregon's city department before with flooding like over in Bayshore and stuff like that as far as sandbags and stuff like that. And I guess it's just us, the way of putting out the olive branch first. And it took me a long time with Lucas County, and we got somebody else in charge and a lot of that's went away, but it just, you're building those relationships that if you got a real problem, and which I'm sure if we had a big problem, I could call up there and get something, so.
Okay, but cool, that's good. I know they've got some very nice pumps, so I'm sure someday we'll need those pumps, so if we...
Don't say that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and it's same thing with Lucas County, it's just phone call and reach out, and as long as they don't have a disaster on that side, then we just get it, so. And we also work with the community to the south, and I work with the one to the east, and we're always either trading help, trading equipment. Everybody's got something a little different, so, yep.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll move on to food pantry. I don't see anybody here from the food pantry, I don't believe. And then that next is Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy. I don't believe there's anyone here from there either. So we'll move on to old business. The Curtis Williston Unsewered Area Zoom meeting is February 29th from 10 to 11. I plan on being on there to see what's going on.
I'm only going to catch the first half hour of it, so I'll be on there for that.
I'll catch it all. Okay, we'll move on to anything about Tarta.
Yeah, so went higher up the food chain at Tarta, talked to Sam Meldon, I believe that was his name. Yeah, Sam Meldon. I didn't get a no on getting services out here. He's going to set up a meeting with me and discuss what our options are. I was surprised we didn't get a no, so that's kind of nice.
Great.
If either of you two are interested, I can let you know in that it'll probably be like a Zoom meeting or phone call or something of that nature. If either of you guys are interested, I can let you know when that's going to happen.
Sounds good.
That's all I got on that.
Okay. We'll move on to 11741 Corduroy Road. Well, I made contact with Springfield Township, Mike Hampton, he's the administrator. Talked to Tom Anderson, he's a trustee there. Talked to Spencer Township, Steve Kester, he's a trustee there. Talked to Richfield Township, Andrew Lumbreezer, trustee. And I guess Mike Hampton, he's the administrator, he's going to kind of take the lead on it. They have full-time people. Actually, when I called him the first time, he says, we don't have a problem, David. Well, he called me back the next day and says, David, we do have a problem. It's kind of interesting. They didn't even know it yet. I guess so far Mike has said the deal is between the Ohio Department of Development and the EPA. We got to get them together, I guess, to get this straightened out. And Dave Mann, I talked to him a week ago, and he said about the same thing. But I'm glad to see that Springfield is in there because they have... full-time people to help us out, and they're, and I know Mike real well, so I feel pretty good about it. We'll just have to see what happens.
So can you give me a recap of the issue with this particular property? What exactly happened, or what's going on that...
We all have the same problem. It's with the EPA, and we didn't do something right, you know, so... And they got the same problem. Mike told me we don't have no problem. Well, he does with them, so...
So we didn't do something right. What's the negative impact of that?
So far, none of us are getting our money.
Well, not our money, the money that we are asking for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The grant money.
Do you know how much that total is?
Right around $30,000 for us. So I guess we just have to see how this plays out.
25 or 30? So I'd have to go back and look again.
So is $30,000 the cost of the whole project, or the amount we were going to get from the land bank?
I'm just saying 30. I don't know the accurate figure, so.
So until this gets resolved, we're out that 30 grand.
Yeah. I don't think it's all bad, Alex. I was in that building, and it should have came down anyhow. The second floor was coming down. The roof was coming down, and if I'd have been a kid, it was just full of stuff like from garage sales and everything, and if I'd have been a kid, I'd have been in there. Just seeing what was in there and scavenging. So somebody could have got killed like they did up there by 475 in that old hotel when the kids get, you know, crawling around.
Yep, I remember exactly what you were talking about. Yeah. I don't disagree that it had to come down. It was in rough shape.
When you look at it, it didn't look that bad, though.
Sure.
You had to be, you know, look inside the door and, yeah.
I think, don't quote me, but I think the grant was 25.
25, okay.
I believe that was what it was. Again, don't quote me for sure.
I don't want to say either, but,
I don't think it was 30. I think it was 25.
And this issue was because of lack of asbestos abatement?
Yeah, the fellow, he couldn't even get in there. It was so crowded and packed.
Okay. Is there any appeals process?
Well, that's...
Based on condition?
We're working on it. That's okay. All I can say.
Okay.
It's a work in progress. And number four, I think we settled that, Bo, when we signed all that, so we don't have to worry about that. Is there any other old business?
We had to sign a paper to sign all of that old grant.
Oh, okay.
For the dike.
That way they can...
Gotcha.
It was a final. I had Dave say that sent it tonight, and I sent it off to Adam. So.
Adam and Mark, right?
Yeah. They got that taken care of.
Any other old business?
I don't have any.
Okay. Nothing. We'll move on to new business then. Tax levies.
Everybody pull up this. It's got the highlighted cover page. I highlighted it for your...
Yep.
So there's... this is a schedule that I make that keeps track of the levies we have. And if you read these columns, it tells you the millage, when that levy ends, when it's paid to the township last, and when it needs to be on the ballot to prevent... a gap in funding. Anyways, then below there's that sentence that talks about the, or sentences that talks about the process. So, Alex, you're new to this, but with a levy, there's two resolutions. The first resolution is from the board, goes to the auditor, who certifies the levy amount or potential amount to collect.
Okay,
comes back to us. We then have a second resolution from the board, including the information from the county auditor. Send that to the Board of Elections. The Board of Elections will then review the resolution, the earlier one, and the documentation from the auditor. And then their board will approve the levy to be on the ballot per the resolution.
So okay.
We specify if it's the spring or the fall election. Right. Excuse me. And then, I guess it's not really anything you guys do, but then I get something mailed to me certifying that it's approved or authorized to be on the ballot with the ballot language. And that's just more of a proofread to make sure the ballot language matches the law for the levy. And that's it. It's up to the electors of the township at this November election.
So what you need from us is to approve a resolution to send this information to the auditor? Yeah.
So part two, there's two resolutions because there are two levies. So let's talk about number two, the levy with millage that ends this year. So it would make sense to have that on the November ballot this year. Because if not, you'll have a gap in funding. Or let's say you put it on the ballot and it fails in November. You could do it in the spring or in the fall the following year, but you would have a gap in time. The second, road and bridge millage is next November with no gap to prevent, you know, the gap. However, you're allowed to have a levy on the ballot a year early. So the million-dollar question is, well, there's two questions. One, I guess, would you like to have a resolution to have on the November ballot this year the two mills for the road and bridge? And then the second question is, do you want to put the later millage on also this November so that the voters would approve both of them? And the only reason I suggest that is because there is two, look at the top two, the recreation and fire levies need to be on the November ballot next year. So instead of having three, you might rock it down to two. Does it mean anything to people? I don't know. But it's also an election, as people say, it's an election year for the president, I guess. So you're going to see a better turnout, which typically isn't an issue for us, right? People don't really have an issue with the road and bridge monies. But I'm just here to present the facts. And so there's two resolutions. And you have to handle each one separately. And then, of course, the resolution number would be today's date with the -00 or... 01.
Yeah, we did that a while back for the fire levy because of how it fell, and we had three on the ballot, so we took the fire levy and
a year early.
Year early,
yep.
To just get it out of the crowd.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I think we better do that, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I mean, one's got to be done.
Well, none of them have to be done. You don't have
well.
To. It's up to you to decide if you want to put it on the. On the ballot. I would say that prior history is we have not, Kevin, it's your levy, right? Prior history has said that nobody really squawks about this millage.
No, we haven't, as far as any of the road and bridge requests, we haven't even come close, even on a low turnout when somebody's really got an opportunity, if they wanted to knock a tax levy off, in the area they could, really anymore. And for what the county's dumping on us, eventually you're going to have to try to increase that.
Yeah, it's going to be increased.
So this
for a while, we're going to be able to get by with that just because of what we got stuck back now. That's why I'm also a little hesitant on do I or don't I do these other roads right now. They don't have to be done. So we could keep the money for another year, spend part of it, and do a little more preventative on the roads. Then next year, the following year, put in a project.
Well, the nice thing is these two resolutions don't necessarily put it on the November ballot. They're just certifying the auditor to tell you how much you would bring in. And then you could say, well, that's what it is. I mean, you when you read the language, it tells you per 20 cents for every $100 evaluation, but that doesn't tell you what the total amount we would collect in a year. That's what this resolution allows us to figure out.
So these aren't putting it on the ballot yet. These are both just sending them to the auditor for those two different years. And then we make that determination at a later date.
Well, this isn't, because to be honest, you put it in perspective, the cemetery levy is 0.25 mils and we're only collecting $16,000. These are very small amounts that we actually receive from these. And this is old money, too, so let's talk about that. So, like with the fire department, they had an increase, if you remember. It was a 5 mil levy, and then they did a 1.5 new money levy. This is all old valuation money. So these amounts did not go up when people's values went up. So that sucks, but it also is offset by the state of Ohio, so they help us with that. So to the taxpayer, it's a renewal at the existing rate, not new money. Hope I explained that well, because I have to pay it too.
Yes, you do.
So just to...
Yeah.
Just so I'm 100% clear,
yeah,
we're deciding what ballot it goes on at a later date. This is just the auditor.
Well, if you look at this resolution, it will reference, I believe, might have been wrong. I apologize.
No, it does. November 5th, 2024.
That's correct.
Section 3.
Yeah, the question of such rural tax levy shall be submitted to the electors. Yeah.
So they have to know when we want to put it on the ballot, when we send it to the auditor.
This the auditor needs to know, according to this resolution, when they need to certify the funds. So what year? Because they're going to base it on our tax year now, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because we already have one for sure coming this year. We just want to add the second one.
Yes.
In
a year early. The second one, the 1 mil. Is not going to be collected a year early.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just going to sit there, and then they're going to put it on when they normally would. We just don't have to put it on the ballot next year.
Yeah, but we're asking about something a year in advance when other things are going to be on the ballot. And in my opinion, that makes it more complicated for voters, because it's quite complicated when you have 2 years in it. When you have one that's a year in advance and then other stuff for that same year, a year later.
It didn't affect the fire department levy at all, and they asked for a 1.5 mil increase, which really actually hit them, I would say, because that's new money. So I think that was a very good response from that. And that was a cautious thing, right? Because when that 5 mil levy was up, Tony was having to pay for 911 dispatching, and that was the 1.5 increase with the new monies, and we did it a year early because we were worried that people were going to say no. And they did not.
It isn't going to say on the, when they go to the vote, it's not going to say, well, this one's this year and this one's next year. It's just,
no,
we're putting it on a year early. If it was to fail, we could
go back a year.
Sure. And that way we still have funds coming in to operate.
It is up to the Board of Trustees to communicate that out if they need to.
I would like to.
Yeah, and the ballot language will actually stipulate some of that timeline also.
Okay, I think that makes it clear for me.
It's like part one of two, right? You get that tax valuation back and say, oh, wow, this is probably going to be successful, then we can proceed with the second resolution, you know. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yep, I think that covers it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So you need these individually read in, Joel?
Well, you know, these are multiple pages here, so I'd like some summaries from... So well, why don't you do this? Sorry, Dave.
Don't bother me.
All right. Like, some of this is pretty, you know, we'd be here all day if you read every single thing from this resolution.
Okay, so this is the 2 mil here. So I have resolution number 22724-00. Is that a good resolution number for you, Joel?
2724-00.
Yeah.
I made these numbers up. I'm sorry.
You make your number.
I had to pick a number for the resolution.
So. Okay, this is a resolution of necessity to levy a renewal of an existing tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation for roads and pursuant to the revised code section 5705.03b, requesting the county auditor to certify the total current tax valuation of Jerusalem Township and other financial information. The Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees met at 7 o'clock for regular scheduled meeting on 2/27/24. Following members present, Alex Linton, Dave Bench, Bo Miller. Bo Miller made the motion to adopt the following resolution. Whereas the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees find that the amount of taxes that may be raised within the 10 mil limitation is insufficient for the current road expense throughout the township. And whereas the resolution declaring the necessity of...
He's reading the whole thing.
Well, I'm getting, I'm gonna do the front page here. Necessity of levying and a renewal tax under Ohio Revised Code, section 5705.19, outside the 10-mil limitation, must be passed and certified by Lucas County Auditor in accordance with the Ohio Revised Code, 5705.3. In order to permit the Board of Trustees to consider the levy of such as tax and must request that the county auditor certify to the Board of Trustees the total current tax valuation of Jerusalem Township and the dollar amount of revenue that would be granted by the tax. Is that enough for you? Or is there another point you want me to hit? Let me hit section.
Section one on the next page.
Section one. Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees who voted to certify below that it is necessary to levy a renewal of an existing tax of 2 mils for the purpose of roads pursuant to revised code 5705.19 for a 5-year period at a rate of 2 mils for each $1 of valuation, which amounts to 20 cents for each $100 valuation. And then section four?
Yeah, it's all true.
Okay, the fiscal officer.
These are terrible, man. If you
The fiscal officer is directed to immediately send and a certified copy of the resolution to the Lucas County Auditor, and this Board of Trustees hereby requests that the County Auditor certify to this Board of Trustees the total current tax valuation of Jerusalem Township, the dollar amount of revenue that would be generated by the renewal of the existing tax of 2 mils. If approved by the electors, the levy rate expressed in dollars rounded to the nearest dollar for each $100,000 of the Lucas County Auditor's appraised value and other certification required to be made pursuant to section 5705.03 of the Ohio Revised Code.
So that's where somebody would have a second.
I could second it.
Okay, roll call. Alex Litton.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Will Miller.
Yes.
Resolution passed.
All right, what's the next resolution number? Read it out.
02272024-01.
All right. A resolution of necessity to level a renewal of an existing tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation for roads and pursuant to the revised code, section 5705.03, requesting the county auditor to certify the total current tax valuation of Jerusalem Township and other financial information. Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees met at 7 p.m. for a regular meeting on February 27th, 2024. With the following members present, Alex Litton, Dave Bench, Bo Miller. Trustee Bo Miller moved the adoption of the following resolution. So I'll do the same thing. Whereas the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees find that the amount of tax that may be raised within the 10 mil limitation insufficient for the current road expense throughout the township. And whereas the resolution declaring the necessity of levying a renewal tax under Ohio Revised Code section 5705.19 outside the 10 mil limitation must be passed and certified by the Lucas County Auditor in accordance with the Ohio Revised Code 5705.03. In order to permit the Board of Trustees to consider the levy of such as tax and must request that the County Auditor certify to the Board of Trustees the total current tax valuation of Jerusalem Township and the dollar amount of revenue that would be generated by the tax. And go over to section one. The Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees who voted to serve, who voted as certified below, that it is necessary to levy a renewal of the existing tax of 1 mil for the purpose of roads pursuant to revised code 5705.19 for a 5-year period at the rate of 1 mil for each $1 valuation, which amounts to 10 cents for each $100 valuation. Section 4. The fiscal officer is directed to immediately send a certified copy of this resolution to the Lucas County Auditor, and this Board of Trustees hereby requests that the County Auditor certify to this Board of Trustees the total current tax valuation of Jerusalem Township, the dollar amount of revenue that would be generated by the renewal of the existing tax of 1 mil. If approved by electors, the levy's rate expressed in dollars rounded to the nearest dollar for each $100,000 of the Lucas County Auditor's appraised value, and any other certification required to be made pursuant to section 5705.03 of the Ohio Revised Code.
Did you make a motion?
I made the motion.
I'll second it.
Let me write this in here. I'm sorry. Roll call. Alex Litton.
I'm going to abstain on this one for putting it on the ballot early.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Resolution passed. I'll get signatures later from the good. Thank you very much. Sorry, I took so long.
Oh, it's all your fault. Okay, we did the levies. Okay, Alex, I guess this discussion on the city water for Cedar Point Road. You must ask somebody who wants water.
Yeah. So a resident reached out to me and asked about, they asked when the city water project was going to continue on Cedar Point Road, and I'm like, what on earth are you talking about? But they were a bit confused. They were thinking of, they got it mixed up with the city of Toledo replacing their main water line. That's actually what was scheduled to be replaced. But I reached out to Lucas County engineers just to see if maybe I didn't hear about this or whatever. There's no current plan to continue city water between, what is it, Cougnell and DeCant. I think that's the stretch that doesn't have city water. Although the engineers did say if people are interested, they can set up a petition, they can get passed around, and they can provide, like, billing amounts, what it's going to cost to put in, etc. Sounded like I had a couple residents that'd be interested in that, so unless there's any objections, I was going to pursue looking into that. I have no strong feelings one way or the other, whether it goes in or not. Obviously, I don't live there, but if a few people are interested in it, I'm happy to look into it. So
trouble is, you have to get so many.
Yeah.
About 80% of them, and it never works out that way.
Yeah.
But you might as well try it.
Yeah. I talked with, I think it was Jim Shaw about it from the engineer's office, and I'll talk with him about it some more, but if people want it, I guess I can try.
Main thing, you'll have to get them together, the whole road there.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a costly project, that's for sure, but
That's where it'll stop. Some people say, I got a well, you know, yeah, I don't worry about it, you know. Because we tried to get natural gas from the school to go down to the church, and there was enough of them that didn't want it, and they were crazy for not taking it, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. So that's that. Okay. Real simple.
Bo, that real estate transfer issue.
We got that taken care of.
We got that taken care of.
I called down. I actually reached out to a guy at the Lucas County Mapping, Steve, I think he's called. His name is. And sent him the revised thing, and he approved it. So I'll get that to Jeff tomorrow.
I do have one quick question about that for future real estate transfers. Do you guys care if I reach out to either Burrell or Stopar and see if there's a way we can get, like, power of attorney or something like that, so we can just take care of transfers so that when residents buy a property from us, they don't have to go, like, deal with that?
If you want to have time to run down there, that's up to you. I don't have time to run downtown and do,
I'd be game for doing it just so residents don't have to do it, because I definitely heard from Jeff of how big of a pain it was. Right. So, I'll look into that then if you guys don't have any objections.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just mention the blood drive March 19th from 12 to 5. And Joel, you want us to approve the Otarma 2024 renewal?
Not tonight. Put it in your boxes. I received it yesterday. Just look it over with the fine tooth comb.
Okay.
Deal with the department heads that you want to make sure that the schedule of assets, you know, is appropriate. And then the other question is about increasing our liability coverage, and one of those pages breaks down like what the increase would be for us and how much coverage you get for that increase. And I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we increased it, and it was only like $800 or something for another million or something. And I was like, yeah. And that, you guys decided that time to go for it because that seems like a bargain.
Yeah, we got to stop and think about, you know, this new tanker and everything, yeah.
Well, it's on here. The new tanker and the new...
No, but I mean, you know, if something would happen,
the liability.
You know,
right.
Liability. Yeah.
But the truck and the new plow truck and the new tanker are on this policy.
Yeah.
And I think this is what I'm looking at, Joel. The total says the final contribution for this
is
$43,218.
Yeah. What was it last year?
$34,000. So...
I don't know if those two trucks did anything to that skid. I don't think that was why it went up.
I mean, for not really ever having... Any claims?
Not in a while.
That it's going up.
The windstorm was the last.
The building was the only claim we've had.
Yours is
always. It's
expensive this year.
It's expensive. I mean, that's.
All the insurances went up because, you know, what's happening in California, Florida, and everything else, you know. So we have to pay for that, too.
So I think, like, that the next meeting, because we're way early, that this thing doesn't go till April, so I always want to make sure we're looking at it well in advance.
Is mine in the box?
It is.
Yeah, they were in the mailbox.
I didn't check that today. Okay, anything else or new business?
I got one thing I left out of my report. David knows about it. I didn't inform the other two of you yet. But the little game we played with the sign up here on Route 2 for entering Jerusalem Township, I was notified last week, I think it was on Friday, and I wasn't extremely having a good day to start with. Lucas County called me and told me that we had to remove all of our township corporation limit signs off the roads because they are illegal postings. And that led into quite the discussion. I says, well, in the 30 plus years I've been here, there's been those signs on those roads. Is there a new law that I don't know about? Well, you guys just went through this on Route 2. Guy I'm talking to left the state to work for the county now. So we went back and forth with it, and he says, well, says you could put the green and white signs up. It just says Jerusalem Township. And I says, okay. He says, and we could put those up for you. And I said, well, how much is this going to cost? He says, well, I'm sure there would be a fee associated. Well, then I told him, I says, well, I'm sure there's going to be a fee associated with everything that I do for you guys and salt that I have stored for you and everything else. I says, matter of fact, maybe I'll make a call tomorrow and you guys can just get all your stuff out of here. Well, immediately the signs are now free, but we can't put up a sign of multiple color, but we can put up one that is green and white. That says Jerusalem Township on it, and they all install them.
Just like the state, same thing.
So I told them, if there's no cost associated with it, install them, we would remove our own signs. So we will have sometime the green and white signs. And he would not move on it at all. If that's something that when we go down for the meeting you want to bring up for a discussion, that's up to you guys, but... I just thought it was pretty odd after the one down here on Route 2 does that, and now all of a sudden there's a problem. And they've been there forever. Only thing we did is took faded out signs down and put ones up that had fresh paint on.
Is that on, so our township roads, we can have our own
signs? Well, our township roads, we can do whatever.
Yeah, it's like the one at Curtis by the post office.
Well, and like I told the guy, I says, well, what does it matter? I said, because the roads that you basically named to me are going to be mine next year anyhow.
Next year anyhow.
And he says, well, they're not yet. So, but don't be surprised if you see those signs come down on Brown Road, Corduroy, Seaman, Cedar Point, all of them going to come down. Yep. That's all the good news I got.
Okay. I guess we'll move on. Public participation. I didn't get the sign-in sheet, but has anybody got anything?
Yeah.
Bill. Okay. Bill, you want to come up so they can hear you on the...
They can hear me.
Think so?
Yeah. All the discussion of money... about the roads and the bridges. Let's not lose sight that we're already paying taxes to the county for this maintenance. And the county's dumping roads on us and not dumping the money to go with it. We should be thinking about how to get after them to get them funds instead of passing stuff and raising everybody's taxes.
That'll be a discussion we'll have when we meet with them. And when?
I mean,
March, isn't it usually?
You know, you could start a class action suit against the county and then not just withhold your taxes, but put it in an escrow account so you can show you're paying your taxes, withhold all their money till they come around and seeing it the right way. But I'd like to see somebody go after that because we're paying funds now and not solve the problem by raising it again.
Thank you, Bill.
Can I elaborate on that for a minute? I took about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, we fought this back and forth for quite a while before they finally got to dump the first load on us. I actually contacted the Otarma lawyers out of Columbus because you didn't want to talk to anybody in Lucas County because obviously they're going to go with Lucas County. And what we were basically advised to do from them, they said there's a loophole from like back in the 30s that they're using to give us these roads. They said we could take, and where they've had any kind of results is you get all the townships together and they put it in the news and they keep it in the news and maybe you can get them to back off. But
yeah,
otherwise you don't. Those lawyers said.
Yeah, but in a sense they're putting they're causing a hardship on the townships by doing what they're doing.
And he knows he is, but it just doesn't matter to him. They just.
Well, he must be a Democrat.
They did it with 911.
Yeah. Kevin, do we have any leverage against the county? Is there anything we can leverage backwards on? That you can think of.
They got us.
If there was, I would already have used it. Trust me,
they got us. Anything else?
I got something.
Joe?
Well, unless you got to start on the other side.
No, okay. Stand up so we can.
That's different, it's just a comment. Adam Hoff, I believe his name was here from the Conservancy District last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a comment that he's a bit uncomfortable speaking at the podium, not facing everybody. And I don't know if it's ever been brought up before, but I wonder if you guys ever considered moving the furniture over to like where Kevin is. So when somebody wanted to speak, they were looking at everybody.
We can do that.
Is that too big a deal? Maybe that's been talked about before. I don't know.
No.
That'd work good for the cameras because that'd be right.
Yeah.
Right in line with
Joe,
that.
If you stay afterwards,
I know we got a whole. I'll do it.
Okay.
Actually, just really those two.
Nothing wrong with that. It's a good idea.
No.
It is kind of awkward. I mean, I'm staring at you guys. I'm not looking. Maybe they don't want to hear from me, but I'd rather look at the other thing is, I just had a question, and it's because I don't know. The process for recording minutes, I believe I understand Joel takes care of, correct? Is there a process for the minutes to go on the township website? Is there any, who's in charge of it? Does it cost money? Is there any set procedure on when that's supposed to happen? Is there a procedure where it should be on before the next meeting?
We have to approve them.
Yeah, so I can answer that question.
We have to approve them, and you saw us approve them at this meeting.
Okay.
The written minutes.
Yeah. Somebody can read on the website.
Yeah. So that has to wait till this meeting from the prior.
Yeah.
Actually, then I scan them in, then I send them to the webmaster, and they put them on. The audio after tonight's meeting, I'll go into the audio tonight, and I'll just send the audio file to them and say, please put it on the website. But it is up to them to then do that. And usually that takes the end of the week, and then they tell me it's updated.
Okay.
And there's no extra cost, because we already have the website anyways. That's just part of the cost.
I didn't even know that. I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the delay is with the written meeting minutes, because those are tested and approved at this meeting.
But you can get on the Township Facebook page, and the live stream is like reposted immediately as soon as we end it. So you can go like legit, like right home and hop right on it and watch again.
I'm not a Facebook guy, but I've got on other people's. My wife does it. I find it, I'm just the kind of guy, I'd just rather read the minutes versus sitting home for an hour and a half, kind of falling asleep. It's cool to come to the meeting, but when I watch it on Zoom, it's like, it's just not the same as being there.
No,
but for somebody like me that kind of wants to pay attention, can't make a meeting versus if I just open up the website and read the minutes, I'm more likely to understand it better sometimes too. So that's why I asked. I don't know if there was a typical time frame. I noticed in the past I've looked, and it's like, well, there's 2 months, 3 months, meetings that aren't posted yet. I didn't know if there was a set.
So there was also an issue where that came up where they were given to them, but then they weren't on the site. And I had asked the Neon Goldfish people, like, what happened? So they had, like, the month, and then they had the audio but not the written, or vice versa. And I'm like, what happened to the audio? And then it showed up after I told them.
Okay, that's all I had. I'm sure I'm not the only one that around the township would prefer to do it that way.
The only other thing I can say about that is if there is a meeting with no audio, or if there is a meeting with no meeting minutes. So at some point we did not record meeting audio, and then there was a point where there were just no meeting minutes prior to me, couldn't find them, don't know where they're at. So there is a gap in time.
Okay.
The tape recorder never worked.
I can't say anymore. I'll just not.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know if this is your seat, Kevin. I'm not meaning
to
make
you mad. No, I sat over there.
Okay, all right.
You're good. You can build a stage over there.
I know you've been there a while. I don't want to start moving you around too much.
Anybody else?
I have a question for zoning, or maybe for the...
You want to stand up and your name?
Okay. I was trying not to stand since I'm due soon, but sure. Heather Prokpo. So my question for either the trustees or for zoning is Rob allowed to appear on Linda's behalf for court appearances?
He is? Okay.
Is he allowed
know.
To? Do we know? Because my
There's
understanding...
There's no reason he can't, but...
My understanding was that it was the zoning inspector who had to appear.
So when he appears, you ask him to appear in your place, or he comes as well, or how does that work?
Usually comes as well.
Okay. Is he the only person you ask to appear on your behalf?
No, Jim Boothby has also.
Okay. Per your request? Okay.
Can we maybe have Burrell or someone look into that and verify that that's legal?
Sure.
We've never represented in the court. We've only,
give
talked
advice
to the prosecutor. We have never represented in the court.
Well, Linda said during this meeting that Rob attended in her place in January during a court date, which is why I'm asking.
Okay.
Because if he's appearing on her behalf, we want to make sure that it's legal.
So was that a trial? Was that a hearing? Was it a prosecutor pretrial? What was that in January?
I don't know the technical term, but all we do is come and give information. So it's not like we're acting in an official capacity.
You're not in front of the judge. You guys are in a
Correct.
Back room.
The prosecutor asks us information, and we are just giving the prosecutor information.
Are you guys subpoenaed or summoned?
Yeah.
Who's listed on the subpoena or the summons?
I believe I am, but she's never had an issue with someone else coming. I've told her that, right? Said other people are coming.
So by that you mean the prosecutor has never had an issue with other people coming?
Correct.
Okay. I still would just request that we verify that.
So anybody from the township government can come and participate?
I don't
I
to.
Could ask.
I don't want to. Okay. I don't think Kevin can ask.
Yes, please do. Please ask.
Yes.
I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anyone else? If not, Bo?
I move to adjourn tonight's meeting.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 8:15.
Bo Miller made the, and I second it.